Columbus, and welcome to Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, your host, enjoying the slow but sure shift into spring. Tonight, we're embracing the change in seasons and getting some dirt under our nails while talking to an urban garden in Cleveland. Not only do they specialize in providing unique, fresh food to a portion of the city with no easily accessible grocery store, they empower local citizens, from young children to adults of all ages, to eat healthy and grow their own fresh fruits and vegetables. But first, we'll hear from someone a lot closer to home. The Highland Youth Garden is a Columbus-based gardening program aimed at getting urban populations to get down and dirty with fruits, vegetables, and other plants. But what they grow doesn't just go to their plates. It also helps to feed kids who might have a hard time getting access to fresh and healthy food. Columbus Bilingual Academy is dedicated to making sure that their students not only have fruits and veggies at their fingertips, but that they enjoy eating them as well. Nicole Jackson, who coincidentally is also reporting our feature story, talks to them about the healthy and delicious decisions in this week's Positively Charged.
No, I'm positive.
Hi, my name is Jim Warner. I'm program director from Nutrition Services, the Department of Nutrition and Dietetics at the Wexner Medical Center. Today we're at the Columbus Bilingual Academy, and we're preparing a grilled chicken salad using greens and spinach that was grown at the Highland Youth Garden. Today we have a dressing that's made with fresh raspberries, orange juice, a little bit of mustard, salt, pepper, and olive oil, so it's really a fresh, nice, light dressing. We're going to dress the salad with some freshly sliced apples, and then we're going to top that with some chicken breasts that were marinated in fresh basil and baked.
Have you worked with the kids here at the Bilingual Academy before?
Yeah, this is my second week working with the kids at the Bilingual Academy. Last week, we took some rhubarb that was grown in the Highland Youth Garden, and we made a rhubarb strawberry compote that was topped with oatmeal and baked, and that was a hit. We sold 2 full pans of it, so we know the kids really enjoyed it.
Do you work with anyone else in the community or just the students?
I've worked with the Columbus Public Health Department, the New Albany, Healthy New Albany. Worked with the SCIP program last year. Pretty much all over the city. I worked in the east side, west side. Worked with the neighborhood house on the east side. There's a YMCA on the east side as well. I can't recall the name of it. I've worked with so many. But I do community work all over the city, and I've been doing this for about 3 years now.
How did you get connected with the Highland Youth Garden?
I think this was through Drew Bagley and the West Side Advisory Committee. I'd worked with her for 2 or 3 years, and we went to the Highland Youth Garden last year as part of one of our activities where we fed all of the children at the Highland Elementary School. We had a granola station, we had a fresh fruit and yogurt parfait station, and then we had a grilled vegetable station for 600 kids at the school. So that's how we got involved with the Highland Youth Garden, and then last year we brought our chefs. And we did a similar type of event, feeding about 400 kids from the school.
And where do you get your ideas for the recipes?
Really, we look at, I have children myself, and I know what they like and what they don't like. So we really looked at what works well for children, what is very portable, and what kids will like. Say, for example, the marinade that we made for the dressing, or for the vegetables, we used one part brown sugar and then 2 parts low sodium Lowry seasoning salt. So we made it sweet enough that the children liked the vegetables, but yet we made it savory enough so they got the different flavors in it, but they got the full benefit of the vegetables because we grilled them very, very lightly. So we maintained the fiber and the nutrient content in the vegetables. And it was just really gratifying to see kids eating red peppers and fresh asparagus, which, you know, they'd never had it before in their entire life. And they're coming back and asking for more, so we know we kind of hit a home run with that.
Is there are there any fruits or vegetables that are really popular with the kids?
All kids like apples. Kids really love grapes. The vegetables, I was really surprised last year, was the asparagus and the mushrooms. I was really shocked. And they like the red peppers because they're so colorful. But as far as the fruits, you know, today we're having raspberries and apples in the salads, and I know that they'll make sure that they gobble all those up because they are really good. It's something that, and it's a treat for them as well.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Once again, that was Nicole Jackson with Jim Warner at the Columbus Bilingual Academy. This is Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio, and tonight, if you haven't guessed, we're talking about the best thing in the world, food. Now, I don't know about you folks, but food is definitely on my top 5 things that I love the most in the world list. Good food can make your whole day better, and thinking about a great lunch or dinner is the best way to get through a long day at the office. But what if you don't have access to a lot of food, especially healthy food? Food deserts are a big problem, especially in urban areas where often overcrowded inner cities have no room for grocery stores. Instead, convenience stores provide much of the food, which is often in the form of staples like bread, milk, and eggs, supplemented by chips, soda, and candy. Notice any food groups missing? The lack of fresh fruits and veggies is absolutely detrimental to the food desert and can result in lifelong health issues for those who live there. Luckily, many organizations have taken notice and are acting quickly to right this wrong. YouthBeat reporter Nicole Jackson heads up to Cleveland to interview one garden that's really making a difference in the lives of their locals.
Let me take you down.
This is Nicole Jackson with Youth Beat Radio. I am here with Elle Adams at City Rising Farms in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi.
Hi, I'm Elle Adams from City Rising Farm. We're an urban agriculture education program in the Huff neighborhood of Cleveland, Ohio.
When did you start this community garden area?
The community garden broke ground in June 12th of 2010.
What was your vision in the beginning in creating this space?
To have a place where the community could gather and determine what they wanted things to be. We didn't start out with any preconceived notions. We had community meetings and asked the people in the neighborhood what they wanted to see. And this is actually a culmination of what the voices in the community said.
What types of programs do you have with this area, and what is your target audience?
Well, we have programming that is open to everyone. Our youngest is 3 now. The oldest is 109. So we reach out to everyone. We have programs for everyone. We have what we call a First Farmer program, which are young kids just beyond toddler to about 13. Then we have our youth program, which is from 14 to about 18. And then our young people move into a more adult role after that.
So what do you think people like most about this space from when you started till now?
That we cleaned up the area. It was really pretty bad when we got here. Weeds probably 6 feet high, a lot of debris and trash. And I remember Mr. Crosby across the street, we asked him, he was a senior, what he wanted to see. And he said, I just want to see something pretty, something beautiful. And unfortunately, we didn't get to accomplish that before he passed away. But I feel like our front bed, which is filled with all kinds of perennials, food, annuals, is so beautiful in the growing season that we accomplished what Mr. Crosby wanted.
What activities or events do you have coming up in terms of getting the space ready for the spring?
Well, what we do is we have community events where we all get together and do cleanup. So community partners, residents, anyone that wants to come and have a fun day comes in. we light up the pizza oven and we cook because we love to eat here. And we just get it done. And then we start the planting. So we have partnerships with the Northeast Reintegration Center and Gail's Garden Center. And Gail's provides the seeds. The Northeast Reintegration Center's horticultural students do the plant starts, and then we are able to distribute plants. And this year, we're really excited because we'll be able to distribute plants in the community for people who want to grow vegetables at home.
So what are some popular things you've planted in the past?
How about I tell you about something that was really unpopular when we first got here? It's a pretty funny story. We encouraged people to try everything. So we had kohlrabi, and which I love. But all of the gardeners the first couple of years hated it. And so when we decide what to grow, we decide what to grow as a group. And they said, we don't want kohlrabi. And so consequently, we don't grow kohlrabi here. I mean, I grow some at home because I like it, but they really didn't like it. But they here they like collards, of course, which is super popular. Tomatoes, peppers, and every now and then you'll get to get them to try something new. I love red mustards, and they're like, mustards are supposed to be green. And so now people are starting to get into these different varieties. Like, let's try something. Oh, let's try that Brandywine tomato. Let's look at heirlooms and things like that. So it's exciting. And the kids are wonderful because they're much more open. And especially if they grow it, they're more likely to eat it. They might eat some kohlrabi, but the adults are like, uh-uh.
I noticed you have the children garden area set up. What are some of the main activities that the children do?
Oh, well, on Saturday mornings, we do our first farmers program. So the kids come in, we have a little breakfast, they come out and they will start planting their beds. They'll know, you know, learn about that. Then we'll do a craft related to the garden, whether it's making stepping stones or things like that for their particular garden. This year, we're going to put in trellises so that they can do vertical gardening. And then they get to take the harvest home, which is really important, particularly in an area where we don't have a grocery store within a mile of us. The children are learning how to grow fresh food and to really help their families. So it's amazing on a whole different level, because come harvest time, when you see those faces with their harvest taken home, it's fantastic. Something that they always, and then they go to the library, which is right across the parking lot, and they show everybody what they have. So we get calls from, you know, oh yeah, we saw those kids with that food going home. So
You were talking to me earlier about a space that's across the street that you're going to be using for teens. Can you give a little bit of a brief description of what that's going to be?
Yes, we our main team, we have hundreds of kids come through here, and we love them all, but we had one teenager who just was a dynamo. He came in and he absolutely got what urban agriculture and environmental education was, and consequently he was the head of our teen advisory council. And also the lead youth member for our intergenerational program. And unfortunately, he was murdered in a home invasion, March 11th of 2015. So the space that we have across the street, and we just acquired some more property, is going to be a teen space. And we're going to have the teenagers in the neighborhood, and his friends and family, and really anyone else that would like to come and share in the charrette to determine what that space will look like, because it will be a space for teens.
So what are some of the lessons you've learned over the period of creating this space for the community in terms of working with people in the community, partnering, forming relationships? What are some of those lessons that have helped you get through this process?
To make sure to recognize that we are all teachers, but we are all students. That everyone has an area of expertise to share, and that we should recognize that. One of the things that is important to me is to make sure that our teens have a voice, our children have a voice. They have taught me so much that I wouldn't have known, because I'm not a teen in 2016, 2015. So we have to make sure that we recognize that everyone's has something to contribute, and to allow them to make those contributions, make way for those contributions.
Is there anything else that's coming up in terms of getting the community together that people would need to know about, or something interesting that's coming up that the community would enjoy, or people outside of Cleveland would want to come and participate and help out with?
Well, we start in May actually having our monthly potlucks. And those are pretty fun because there's always a theme involved and music. So look for look at our website. It's not updated yet, but in the next couple of weeks it will be. And we encourage people to come out and have a good time, see what we're doing. And the great thing about City Rising Farm is that we are a catalyst for people to explore their own areas of expertise. So if someone has something that they want to try, give us a call, because we can usually figure out how to make it a workshop. And all of our education here is free and hands-on.
So if there's anyone out there that just is now figuring out that, you know, this place exists in Cleveland and they want to help support this space and what you guys are doing, how can they do that?
You can contact us at City Rising Farm. Our website is www.cityrisingfarm.com. Our email is info@cityrisingfarm.com. And you can reach us at telephone number 216-269-5325.
Thank you so much, Elle. It was great having you talk about the City Rising Farm and what wonderful things you guys are doing.
Thank you for having us.
Again, that was Nicole Jackson with City Rising Garden. And I'm Lindsay, here with Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. Now, while we're on the topic of local gardens, let's talk about local farmers markets, too. Not only are they a really great way to spend a summer morning, they also offer the opportunity to sample, enjoy, and buy all kinds of local produce and a whole slew of other goodies. Franklin County is a haven for farmers markets. And when I looked it up on ohioproud.org, I found more than a dozen. Aside from the famous and much-loved North Market, Gahanna, Worthington, Upper Arlington, and Clintonville all boast their own showcase for fresh fruits, veggies, and more. So if you ever find yourself with nothing to do and an empty fridge on a warm weekend, grab your reusable shopping bags and head on over to your nearest or favorite market. Need help finding one? OhioProud.org has an easy search engine meant to do just that. Now, we're going to take a short break so you can do your research, but when we get back, we'll learn about a small but intensely important creature that helps everything from trees to shrubs to flowers grow.
Worst of all, never thought, baby, when you say you will, but I. I'm a toy, but I could be the boy you adore if you just let me know. Although you are through, I'm attracted to you all the more. Why do I need you so? Baby, baby, try to find a little.
To Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio. This is Lindsay. Alright, so we've been talking a lot about gardens tonight, and it seems suitable that tonight's creature feature make its home in a garden. But it's not a butterfly, a ladybug, or even a worm. Nope, this week's creature feature is the honeybee. Weighing about a tenth of a gram, honeybees are surprisingly small and surprisingly feared. But what they do for the environment and for us is dramatically important. When mature, a hive can contain 20 to 100,000 individuals, each of which will produce about 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in its lifetime. But aside from giving us a delicious sweetener and surprisingly good antiseptic, honeybees are amazing pollinators. Traveling from flower to flower, they collect nectar to bring back to the hive and get the dusty pollen stuck to their fuzzy legs. Carrying it to a new flower, the old pollen falls off and helps to fertilize its new home, making for healthy and happy gardens. Believe it or not, a top-notch worker bee could visit 2,000 flowers per day, resulting in hundreds and hundreds of pollinations. So the next time you see one buzzing by, just give it plenty of space and leave it to its work. Alright folks, we're just about at the end of the episode, but we've got time to close on a quote. Tonight's quote is from Gertrude Jekyll, a famous British horticulturalist who said, "A garden is a grand teacher. It teaches patience and careful watchfulness. It teaches industry and thrift. And above all, it teaches entire trust." For YouthBeat Radio, this is Lindsay. Have a good night.
YouthBeat Radio is funded by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University Extension's Outreach Program, as well as the Puffin Foundation West and private sponsors. Check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or follow us on our Twitter page or our Facebook page.